The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up? This your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's have a shout out for our super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Hip to the hop to the dribbly to ball. I don't know what that was, but I'm talking about basketball.
Nailed it. Nailed it. I'm Ben. You're Noel. Noel, what do you think of when you think of basketball?
Oh, I think of incorrigibles. That's what I think of. them what cannot be tamed. You know, the spirit of sporting chance and excitement and dribbling and hip to hop, the thing that Max said.
I think of all my stubbed fingers because I play, you wouldn't believe it because I'm not the world's tallest guy, but I was actually pretty good at basketball in my younger days because I had a lot of fight in me.
I think it's a misnomer that you have to be tall. It definitely gives you an edge.
Yeah,
but I mean, you can. Aren't there some like famous shorties?
Sure, yeah, like Steph Curry, Trae Young, who are both taller than all three of us.
And we'll talk about why. Right, we'll talk about why that happened along the way. This week, we're excited to explore the history of basketball. And guess what, folks? Even if you're not a sports ball person, if you don't care too much about basketball, you're still going to enjoy this. Yeah. Noel and I were talking. There's some ridiculousness.
This ain't your granddad's history of basketball.
Right. And if you
unless your granddad was a guy by the name of James Naismith.
Yeah. And so
born in the 1800s.
And born
probably
in the
would be more like a great grandpa.
Great.
So I want to thank James Naismith for enabling a young Ben Boland to, you know, despite being short, I was like Spider-Man doing parkour drunk. I was all over the place. You know, it's weird that I still have 10 fingers, mm-hmm. But thank you, James. Let's learn a little bit more about you, Mr. Naismith. This is something we said right before we started recording. You kind of have to be a little bit eccentric to wake up one day mm-hmm. and say, I'm going to make a sport.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And by the way, no relation to Mike Naismith from the Monkees, who was also a little bit eccentric.
True.
And maybe didn't invent a sport, but did single-handedly invent rock and roll.
Hey, they're the Monkees.
That's true. They monkey around sometimes. I actually need to watch that show. So there's a podcast that I really like called With Gourley and Rust. They talk about horror movies. And they were saying how some of the Monkees sketches in their TV show are like Tim and Eric level weird and absurd.
Yes.
And I need that in my life. And actually, I think the Monkees get unfairly maligned as sort of this like fake band, but they actually had some really good tunes as well.
Yeah,
I feel like it's so easy to criticize something when you're not making something as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Believer is a bop.
Yeah, but even some of their deeper cuts and some of their albums that are like a little more experimental. Anyway, again, different Naismith, spelled differently even. Not sure why I brought it up. No, I know why, because we're fans of Tangents here on Ridiculous History.
Oh, Last Train to Clarksville. I love parody songs.
That's the Kinks.
They did Last Train to Clarksville. The Monkees did.
Well, the Kinks do it. Maybe it's a cover. I didn't think it was.
Yeah, Last Train to Clarksville is by the Monkees.
Really?
Yeah.
The Kinks do a great Last Train to Clarksville.
Nice.
Very cool.
Everybody loves it. It's a bop. I had a parody version of it I would play called Last Train to Hapeville, and it was about being late to the airport. Anyway, that's where the airport is here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'll bring us back from the tangent. Sorry.
I'm an idiot. The Kinks did not do Last Train to Clarksville. They did a song called Last of the Steam-Powered Trains.
We need to make a train.
Train-related. Yeah.
Guys, this is going to be a weird couple of weeks for us because we've got announcements. We got some housekeeping. Noel, you're heading to Detroit. Max, you're heading out in October. I'm heading somewhere in October. And then before that, we're hitting Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Hitting the strip.
we're hitting the strip.
We're going to fear and loathe our way through that city of lights.
And our boss, beat me here, Max. Our boss keeps roasting me for being excited about seeing the Hoover Dam. Anyway, whatever. It's a marvel of engineering.
It really is. I mean, I wish I could come to be at that company with you because I'm assuming you're going by yourself, right, Ben?
I rented a car. I think it'll be a thing where we'll see who wants to come.
I want to come.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Yes, then please come.
Damn me up, fam.
That's right. Okay. That explains that text message. Okay, it was about the Hoover Dam.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so this is an epic tangent for us, but we've got a lot of stuff going on. Folks.
Worth it, man.
You think so? Yeah.
I think, you come for the history, you stay for the tangents, mm-hmm. or you leave in a fit of rage for the tangents.
Take the last train to tangents.
Exactly.
So James Naismith, he's a guy.
Yeah, that James Naismith was a real kooky character. He was a second-year grad student who was essentially put in charge of a physical education program. Before this was like a thing, I don't even think they called it kinesiology at the time. That was like sort of when I learned about that, I guess the health class, whatever they always called it, the study of kinesiology. I think it's named after like the father of health. Yeah. which isn't God, surprisingly. It's some dude named Keen.
Yeah. So he's basically a PE teacher.
That's right.
Right. He's a younger PE teacher. And another teacher, one of his colleagues, was saying, we've got an issue here, Jimmy, which is, you can have the kids out running in circles or, frolicking when it's warm outside during the summer, the autumn, the spring, but we need a game to keep them active in the winter months. Now, James, being a Canadian, he's about 30 years old now, he's familiar with sports that are popular in Canada, he's familiar with cold weather, and so he says, all right, I'm going to take a little bit from rugby, a little bit of lacrosse, and then a little bit from a game that I've never heard of, Duck on a Rock.
Duck on a Rock.
Have you heard of this?
No, I assume it's like Dope on a Rope, which is also a real game that I didn't just like make up.
King of the Hill.
Duck on a Rock. Maybe it does sound like you push somebody off. Yeah.
So cast your memory back there, folks. It's the winter of 1891. There's a gymnasium there at Springfield College. Then it was called the International YMCA Training School, and it's located in Springfield, Massachusetts. The college kids are getting restless. The way they describe these kids in winter makes me think of livestock that you have to put in a barn.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
like the horses are whickering and the cows are looking around and mooing or lowing restlessly. I don't know.
Yeah, I love it. I love a good lowing. Yeah, and also really quickly, I don't think we mentioned this, but looking at images of this dude, this guy looks like the kind of, fellow you'd see in the halls of Congress or something, like a like a portrait of like a scholarly gentleman, wizened, you know, with circular eyeglasses and a coiffed mustache, you know? Doesn't look like a guy that invented a game that became a purveyor of culture, you know? I mean, it's kind of, he doesn't look like that kind of cat.
No, he looks like he has weirdly specific opinions on the fall of the Ottoman Empire and like prices of silver futures.
Agreed.
he I don't want to say nerd, right? We're very pro nerd here, but I agree with you, Noel. He looks like he's in Congress.
Wizened.
Wizened and wizardly.
Wizardly indeed. But he, you're right, these restless youths, they need to be tamped down. their wild urges are just out of control. You know, they've got cabin fever. And this guy, this size, I think he's sort of challenged by a colleague, you know, to like, why don't you figure out a way to occupy these kids?
Yeah. And I the way that we're describing it with restlessness and pent up energy, I want to picture the invention of basketball as some kind of action thriller. So instead of a colleague saying, hey, let's figure this out, I want someone bursting in the door and saying, damn it, James, this is a ticking time bomb.
Something has to be done. Their hormones are raging.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car, I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So in the winter of 1891 to 1892 in Springfield College, as you mentioned, at the time it was known as the International YMCA Training School. Naismith decided to take on this challenge. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to a kindly janitor, member of the janitorial staff, and requested that he go out and seek something that he could use as goals. I think he asked for boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Initially, some sort of perhaps shipping type container, you know, for from a fruit market or something like that.
Right.
But he couldn't find any boxes, but he did find some baskets. Basketball does not have the same ring as basketball, or like maybe it would have just been called box ball. Isn't it just funny, though, how maybe he would have found his way to the baskets eventually, but one, based on this, you know, kind of serendipitous situation, one kind of tends to think that this was a little bit arbitrary, you know?
Yeah, it could have been any kind of container, which I agree is pretty interesting. And also I want to point out that the gymnasium class at the time, it was not like your PE classes today. One of their activities was marching, which just seems so weirdly militaristic. You know?
I mean, like, you guys never played marching in like elementary school, like PE class?
Played marching?
Yeah, you just like, we marched like that.
I had to do marching because I was in a pretty fascist pro-military Boy Scouts troop. But that's about as close as we got.
You mean the Boy Scouts?
I lucked out. You get one of two. You either get the really hardcore, let's train you for the revolution troops.
Right.
Or you get the other ones. So I'm happy that I ended up with the very weird revolutionaries.
I always think of that Monty Python bit from The Meaning of Life where they're like running drills at some sort of military training facility. And he's like, marching up and down the square, not good enough for you, eh? You know, now wait, don't stand there gulping like you never seen the hand of God before.
And yes, we know marching band is a thing, folks.
Marching band is also a thing.
That reminds me, guys, this will be one of my last tangents for this. I know this is a two-part episode for us anyhow. Do you know about the Battle of Bands here in Atlanta?
I know about the concept of Battle of the Bands, but this is like a marching band battle.
Yeah, all the best college marching bands get together at the stadium in town,
and they just serve each other, right? Just
it's like
dancing up at each other.
What was that amazing cheerleader film?
Well, there was
Kristen Dunst, isn't it? Gabrielle,
get it on, light it up. Do the thing. Well, you got served was the dancing one.
Yes.
So there's that, but it's also, and then there was Drumline, which was,
Bring It On.
Bring It On. I was close.
You were very close. That's kind of a vague title anyhow. But yes, you guys, let's go to the Battle of the Bands. I swear it's such a fun time.
Oh, can I jump in with a tangent?
Yeah.
If you were in marching band, what instrument are you playing?
What do you mean, like hypothetically?
Yeah, hypothetically. Which one would you choose?
Bassoon, baby.
Bassoon?
Nice.
No, I have no embouchure. I cannot play any except a drum. I could play a drum, but those would be heavy. It'd be really
the drum
hard
guys
on your
are
back.
Like the coolest ones too.
They are.
I would either go drums or I can't even remember the proper name for him, but the dude who just has the cane.
He's like, there's no drum major.
Yeah,
the drum major. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't believe y'all didn't say this, but I want to be the guy who's inside the tuba. You know, the giant tuba that wraps around the person. Yeah. I want to be that guy.
I think that's actually called a sousaphone.
Sousaphone. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I want to be that guy.
Invented by John Philip Sousa, another weirdo composer, inventor, polymath, much like the guy who we're supposed to be talking about today.
To it.
James Naismith. So he does the thing, gets these peach baskets is what
right,
they are.
Right.
You know, woven kind of wickery peach baskets. This is the late 1800s. So they probably had a different vibe than maybe what we're used to. But he then attached them to like the kind of opposing balconies in this open, you know, gym where there's, I guess, you know, think of like a high school gym where there's maybe a walking track around the top, something approaching that. And then he's like, well, can't have a game without some rules. So he started to kind of brainstorm as to what rules he would impose on this game. Because at this point, all he had were these baskets. Very organic. He really just kind of was going by the seat of his pants. You got to give him props for that. He realizes, though, that an important facet of what he's trying to accomplish is to have a game that is simple enough to understand, complex enough to be interesting, and doesn't involve punches and kicks and karate chops,
yeah,
you know, like rugby and other more rough and tumble type sports.
And it can't be like a one-on-one or two-on-two thing like tennis. You have to accommodate the entire class.
That's right.
So the kids need to be running around and they
can't. Exercise is another important fact.
Right. The calisthenics is part of what he's teaching. And so he divides these kids into teams of nine and he tells each team, look, you got two teams, you got one ball, I'm going to blow this whistle. And then one starting team gets the ball. You try to put it in the other team's basket. You know, if you're one of the kids who is, I feel like he took the two least fit kids and said, you guys stand at the balcony. And when the ball goes in the basket, your job is to take it out of the basket. Mm-hmm. So you're still participating.
Right. Yeah. So, and also this is not the basketball that we think of today where there's, you know, the ball comes through.
No, it just goes in.
Goes in.
They didn't figure out cutting off the bottom.
They didn't figure that out yet. They hadn't gotten there yet. Yeah. But his epiphany comes when he realizes that there's a very important rule that will sort of take care of the nonviolent aspect of it, which is that you can't move with the ball.
That's right.
You can't run with the ball. I mean, I believe they call that traveling or like holding or something like that.
Yeah, traveling.
Yeah.
You gotta bounce.
But this original basketball barely resembles what we know today as basketball. We're going to get to that. But, it is still, I believe, you can't hold the ball and move. You have to bounce the ball, dribble the ball.
Yeah.
But still kind of a lot of contact in modern basketball. But it does still seem safer than football.
Yes. Yeah. You're less likely to suffer the long-term consequences of a concussion.
Yeah. Traumatic brain injury.
And if you're watching basketball, you're less likely to lose hours of your life sitting through commercials, which is why American football, at least, is still mainly just popular in the U.S.
It's because it gives so much opportunity for advertising.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show.
Did you guys hear about the new rule in college football?
What's that?
Outside like the 2-minute warning.
Are they putting in guns?
No, after the first down, they just run the clock to make the actual game shorter so they put more commercials in.
That's ridiculous.
Because everyone's complaining about how long college football games have gotten. So instead of taking more commercials out, because the NFL took more commercials out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
College is just making the game shorter.
This is why I'm glad I don't like sports. But I do think basketball is entertaining and enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, agreed. And there are some examples of modern myth making here. I didn't know this going in, but there are two very different accounts of the first basketball game. And one of them, it goes off fine, mm-hmm. you know, and they're all learning together, kumbaya, hands across America kind of stuff. In the other one, people almost murder each other. So you want to do the murder one first?
Obviously. Yeah, it basically devolves into a brawl because, again, the rules are kind of fluid at this point, right?
Yeah.
And they don't quite get it. And people are just used to going around slapping balls out of people's hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a little more aggressive. And after all, these are described as a group of incorrigible youths.
By Naismith himself. Yeah. In 1939, he's talking about this on a radio show called We the People. The radio was sort of the first podcast. And it's the only known recording of James Naismith's voice. He's 77 at the time. And he tells the studio audience, basically, he makes it sound like these were the Lost Boys from Peter Pan or like Lord of the Flies type stuff. He says, you know, like you pointed out, he says, I had to tame this class of incorrigibles. And the show's host, the interviewer, Gabriel Heater, she says, what rules did you have for your new game, Dr. Naismith? And his response is epic.
Oh, yeah, they were a little fluid. He didn't have enough, he said, and that's where I made my big mistake. The boys began tackling, kicking and punching, karate chopping. I added that part. They ended up in a free-for-all in the middle of the gym floor. Before I could pull them apart, one boy was knocked out. Several of them had black eyes, and one had a dislocated shoulder. Dude, that's wild. It takes a lot to dislocate somebody's shoulder. That's not like a minor injury. That's serious.
They've been pent up all winter, I guess.
How did he let this get so out of hand?
He concludes, it certainly was murder. After that first match, I thought they'd kill each other, but they kept nagging me to let them play again. And I tell you what, in that version of the story, the reason they're nagging him is because they wanted to settle some scores.
Sure.
That's what happened. It was devolving into a group brawl. And so he says, okay, look, like you pointed out, he says, I added some more rules. Basketball became a fine, clean sport. Yes,
good, clean fun.
Good, clean, wholesome fun. And then he says, I guess it just goes to show what you can do if you have to. And the audience burst into applause. Max, come get a rah, rah. Yeah, and then yeah, perfect. And then an orchestra plays him out.
Ah, the golden days of radio.
I love that stuff.
With they used to literally have radio orchestras. That was a whole thing. I still have
an old collection of some of those. This is maybe a very Southern thing, but we got this place called Cracker Barrel here in the South. And Cracker Barrel is famous. It's technically a restaurant, but it's less famous for its food and more famous for its very weird general store.
Country store.
The country store.
Yeah.
Where they sell collections of old-timey radio tracks.
They do sell those kinds of things. And they also sell tchotchkes and trinkets.
Little wooden puzzles.
Little wooden puzzles and like the thing with the golf tees. You know? But my favorite, I was at a Cracker Barrel recently on the way back from a trip to the beach. And they were selling all kinds of like Halloween-themed things.
What?
That could very easily be misconstrued as
satanic.
A little bit satan-y.
Wow, Cracker
and
Barrel.
They sell alcohol now.
I heard about that.
Wild.
I haven't been since they did that.
But, you know, things change.
Sure.
These segues, as did the story around the first game of basketball. And we often know that, you know, sometimes when you approve a writer to do your memoir, you know,
you might
give them access in exchange for them writing a favorable account, you know, of your life.
Yeah.
Like what's happened with this Elon Musk book that just came out. Apparently, the writer has already retracted the way he characterized Elon shutting down these Starlink satellites, you know, that were supposed to aid the Ukraine in that conflict. He basically came out and said that the way he wrote it in the book was a mistake. And he's always kind of had a history of being a little kowtowy to Mr. Musk, as opposed to like this being a tell-all. So one could imagine there's a similar situation with Mr. Naismith, because the account in the book, it's weird though, because he told the rough and tumble account himself. So it's not like he would be opposed to that being out in the world.
Yeah.
But maybe he wanted the official record that's in his book to be, I don't know. The guy doesn't strike me as a liar. A little bit of a kook, but not a liar. But according to the memoir, it was just a smashing success, and nothing could have gone more swimmingly.
Right. So what is most likely, I would guess, what is most likely here is that there was some diplomacy in the telling of the story in the memoir. And then as the guy ages, he's got his legacy. He's not worried about getting in trouble, you know. Now he's a sports legend.
Yeah.
So now he's just telling the fun version of the story. We know that the bones of it are true. He did invent what becomes basketball. He did have to maintain control over a bunch of rowdy kids. And he was coming in hot because the PE teacher before him just couldn't get the kids interested in anything. So this embellishment about it being violent, if it's untrue, according to How to Watch Basketball Like a Genius by Nick Green, the embellishment probably came about because the first game might have been very boring.
Yeah, it finished with a score of 1-0.
So what is this, soccer?
That's snoozer material right there. Not good. A student by the name of William Chase got the only basket in what maybe would be considered a three-pointer today. You know, a real half-court, you know, fling, right?
Right.
A heave-ho.
Yeah.
So he obviously was the star player. The floor of the gym where all this went down measured 35 by 54. So this would have been basically based on current kind of standards, a mid-court shot.
Yeah, this is like, he's half a court away. That's epic. That's like Steph Curry level. And the game was clumsy, maybe more than a little chaotic. And then Naismith later wrote, this is such a weird cold burn. He says, there's no teamwork, but each man did his best.
Great.
What does that mean?
Participation award.
Is there a guy like popping and locking
good job.
In the
yeah,
corner?
Maybe,
you know?
Who knows? I do think, you know, we'll get to some of Naismith's more out their ideas about the human species, but you start to get hints at it with his theory that young men needed competition inherently, and they had to fulfill some kind of play instinct, which just really feels like looking at man as an animal in a lot of ways, you know, like a primitive beast, which is not, I'm not saying that's not, there's not some truth to that at times, but it does seem like this guy, he had some ideas.
Yeah. To jump in here real quick. You'll actually hear that a lot of people who argue like NFL pro football will say that it's a substitute for war.
It very much is.
And you know, football is very much trench warfare. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And so that is an argument for it. So you saying that, I wanted to jump in and just toss that in.
Mm-hmm. Let's do the sound cue. You know, I agree with you when Noel and our pal Matt Frederick, whom you just heard, folks, we did an episode on this many, many moons ago on sports as a substitute for war. And the psychology is there, which is why, you know, Max thought I was joking when I was like, I don't know, update the rules, give him some not lethal firearms, but like give him, you know, give him some like something heavy.
Or we could just, you know, post some like sniper turrets.
There we go.
Have you seen that thing? There's a meme or a video meme where it's like shots from American Sniper, where Bradley Cooper's, you know, the titular American sniper, and he's popping off shots. And then it's showing that those moments where male soccer players just fall down and clutch themselves when they're literally brushed by another player. Yeah, yeah. Apparently it's like a thing.
Yes.
And then you compare it to women's soccer, where they just play on with like blood gushing out of their eye sockets and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty comical.
American Gladiator. James Naismith would have loved American Gladiator. You guys remember that show?
Dude, I went and saw them in Augusta when
I grew up.
I saw them live. They did the tour. There's a documentary about the American Gladiators on Netflix right now. And surprise, surprise, they were all a bunch of juicers.
What?
Yeah.
Not
of the orange variety.
I would have never guessed.
They seem so collected.
Apparently lots of orgies happening in the locker rooms too. Can you imagine that? Like a juiced up orgy like that?
I'm just imagining the smell, and I wish I wasn't.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
Big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now,
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
As you said, Naismith, little wonky. We open with that. You got to be kind of eccentric to say, I'm going to invent a sport. And originally, the students, who, by the way, again, are on board with this from game one, you know, they got black eyes, dislocated shoulders, scores to settle. They say, ah, Mr. N, you should call this Naismith ball, bro. And he said, well, we've got a basket. We've got a ball. Let's just call it that.
If it had been a box, it would have been box ball.
Mm-hmm. Or if it had been a basket and a box, it would have been basket box. He's being very reasonable.
I think so, too.
I'm glad he used a ball, though. And so we wanted to share some of the rules that he codified. You know, he's the Moses of basketball, right? So here's what he puts on his tablets. He says, like you pointed out earlier, I don't want the players to move when they're holding the ball. That's kind of why rugby gets violent. And he has this moment where he says, look, if you can't run with the ball, we don't have to have people be tackled, right? And if you listen to his, and we can laundry list them too, or some of them, but if you listen to his original rules, what's surprising is they don't seem like they all apply to basketball today.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not what you'd call a sports fan. So I know the basics of the rules of basketball, but a lot of these didn't seem familiar. I think we should list them out because they're pretty fascinating. The ball may be thrown in any direction with one or both hands.
Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ball may be batted in any direction with one or both hands. Never with the fist.
God help you if you use a fist.
No fisting.
This isn't volleyball. This is basketball.
I mean, that's a great way to knock someone's tooth out, is to hit a basketball with a fist.
No, 100%. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I get it. But also, a slap would get it going pretty fast, too.
Sure. It also, some of that rule in particular feels like it was written for one kid with, like, a bad home life.
Totally.
It was just like, I just want to punch stuff.
I just picture that Arthur meme, you know, with the clenched exactly. fist, you know.
The tiny little clenched fist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, there's rage in that fist. A player cannot run with the ball. The player must throw it from the spot on which he catches it. I love these very gendered rules as well, by the way. Allowance to be made for a man who catches the ball when running at a good speed. Allowance to be made for a man who catches the ball when running at a good
speed. If you're running, they throw the ball while you're running and you catch it. He's saying, yeah, okay.
You don't have to put on the brakes and skid like a cartoon character.
Yeah. So how it eventually progresses, you can take a step without dribbling.
Yeah, yeah.
Which there's also like the Euro maneuver and stuff like that, which is ways to manipulate that without breaking the rule.
And you have to hold the ball in your hands or between your hands. That's the next rule. You can't tuck it in your pits.
Between your thighs.
Right.
You know, between your head and neck.
You can't just bend it behind one knee.
Unless you're the Harlem Globetrotters. But that's more like of a
show.
So they are tremendous basketball players, though.
Sure. Of course. The arms or body must not be used for holding the ball.
That's right. No shouldering, holding, pushing, tripping, or striking, or karate chops in any way the person of an opponent shall be allowed. That's like a Yoda sentence right there. No shouldering, holding, pushing, tripping, or striking in any way the person of an opponent shall be allowed.
And he didn't just say the opponent, the person of an opponent, which sounds very... legalistic, but I love the idea of, although it's probably fictional, I love the idea again of these rules being written for one really violent kid. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as the whistle blew, he just did a roundhouse, clocked someone.
Totally, cold cocked him. That word. This continues. Yeah. This is where we get into something that I think, some form of this obviously still exists today. The first infringement of this rule by any player shall count as a foul. The second shall disqualify him until the next goal is made. Or if there was evident intent to injure the person, for the whole of the game, no substitute allowed. Max, is this in any way resembling the foul system of modern basketball?
Kind of. It is this is a subsect of fouls called flagrant fouls. So there's a flagrant one and a flagrant two. So a flagrant one is like when you injure someone by kind of negligence, you're not attempting to injure them, but you shouldn't have done what you did. And what that is the team, I think traditionally there's different situations. You get two free throws and the ball. Uh-huh. So it's much higher than a regular foul, which is just two free throws or the ball. And then if someone gets two flagrant ones in a game, they get ejected from the game. And there's a flagrant two, which is no, man, you weren't even trying to go for the ball. You were just trying to tackle this guy in air.
It's first and second degree murder.
Sure.
That's what I was thinking. It's like manslaughter and murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manslaughter's one, murder's two, and two, you're immediately ejected from the game. But, mm-hmm. When these rules were written, I don't think they had bench players.
Yeah.
Because, basketball, you're always changing.
It does say no substitutions in one of these rules.
I'm going to use the word phrase flagrant foul way more often now. Like you've committed a flagrant foul. And yeah, so we've got that rule does matter. And then they go on to define some of the ideas of what a foul is. So rule six is a foul is striking at the ball with the fist, violation of rules 3, 4, and as such as described in rule 5. So he just says this is what a foul is. And he starts counting fouls if either side makes 3 consecutive fouls. Then the other team gets a point. It shall count as a goal for the opponents. What does consecutive mean? It's good, but it's not perfect because the clock on consecutive fouls starts over whenever the other team does something nasty.
Yeah, and there's no mention of penalties involving free throws or extra opportunities to get points. There is a way that these consecutive fouls translate into free points, for the opposing team. But it doesn't there's no, mini game, which I would say.
That'd be great.
That's kind of what a free throw is. It's like, oh, we've triggered this event and now you don't necessarily get it, but you get the opportunity to get it.
Yeah. And then what is a goal? He says a goal is made when the ball is thrown or batted from the grounds into the basket and it stays in the basket. Remember, the basket still has a bottom. Providing those defending the goal do not touch or disturb the goal. If the ball rests on the edge and the opponent moves the basket, it counts as a goal. That's way different. That's very different.
Yes, no, but goaltending is still a call, at least in American basketball. It's not international in FIBA. But if the ball is above the basket and a team touches it, it's either offensive interference, which is a turnover, no basket, or it's goaltending, automatic basket. But FIBA's way cooler because FIBA, you can just rip it off the top of the rim.
Tight. So there's also the idea of a ball going out of bounds. We all remember this. You've seen it in every basketball game. When the ball goes out of bounds, it shall be thrown into the field of play by the person first touching it. In case of a dispute, the umpire, the ref, shall throw it straight into the field. The thrower in, which is a cool title, gets 5 seconds to do it. If he holds it longer, it automatically goes to the other team. If any side persists in trying to delay the game, then they get a foul.
The umpire shall be judge of the men and shall note the fouls and notify the referee when 3 consecutive fouls have been made. He shall have power to disqualify men according to Rule 5. I'm sorry, an umpire in basketball?
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah, blasphemy.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, but we have a referee.
Right, exactly. So the next rule, the referee shall be judge of the ball and shall decide when the ball is in play, inbounds, to which side it belongs, and shall keep the time. He shall decide when a goal has been made and keep account of the goals with any other duties that are usually performed by a referee. So the way it's written, it sounds like there's a ref and an umpire, but now they're the same guy.
That makes sense. Seems like it's convoluted to have both.
What? No way.
It could be one of those things. So in football, there's a ref, there's an umpire. There's all the different people have a different title. A
jurisdiction, perhaps.
Yeah.
I get it.
But then basketball, you just have referees and baseball, you just have umpires. Mm-hmm. There's no jurisdiction for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like basketball is a little more of a nimble kind of sport, too, like where it could, one person could probably keep track. It's not like an insane number of players.
And it's similar in some ways to like how soccer works, where like the refs move up and down the field. And so when you're on this part of the field, they're assigned to like this section and stuff like that. So like everyone's kind of calling similar things in a basketball game.
Which goes to show, too, that a ref in basketball or maybe in any sport, particularly in basketball, not so much in baseball, has to be pretty fit because they got to keep moving, bobbing and weaving and running along.
And that's where it's different than like football is because you have like this guy's job is to make sure everyone's on side along with a couple other calls. But like they're very much more specialized jobs for football referees.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's more to look at, too. Right. Also, the weird system of how they outline a first down on the stadium or on the field is pretty fascinating.
Still, all that eludes me. A down, Greek to me. It's fine. I'm fine with it keeping it that way.
So you're there for the commercials. You know what I mean? They're good commercials.
I'm there to hear other people's hot takes on the commercials. I don't even need to see the commercials themselves.
I love going to live sports games for the energy, and I love concessions food.
I
know it's super trash, but I know those nachos are not worth $12 or whatever.
That color does not exist in nature.
But it hits different.
Does hit different. Especially, you know what I really like? French fries at a baseball game smothered in ketchup directly on the fries.
Amazing.
I think for me, that's a nostalgic thing. Because I used to play Little League and then go to Little League games. And that's just a classic sport, snack.
Like peanuts at baseball. That's how I feel too. Yeah. The next rule is the time shall be 2 15-minute halves with 5 minutes rest between. And the final rule, this is again from our pal Nick Green. You don't talk about Fight Club. That's right. James Naismith, inventor of Fight Club. Chuck Palahniuk has been lying to you. No, the last rule is the side making the most goals and in that time window will be declared the winner. If there is a draw and the captains of the teams agree, then they can just keep playing in kind of a death mode. Record scratch. Foul ball. We're
ding dong, ding dong.
We're successfully making this.
One of the seven timeouts you get.
One of the seven timeouts we get. Is it times out or is it timeouts?
Timeouts.
Unclear.
Timeouts.
It's not like attorneys general.
Okay, we're taking a pause. There's so much more to explore about the world of basketball, thanks to our research associate, Dr. Z's.
That's right. Not to be confused with Dr. J.
J,
who is an important figure in the early days of basketball.
What's Dr. J's name?
I almost got it. Hold on. Ben, I see you Googling.
I am Googling.
It's on the tip of my brain.
What is the male name that is most likely to begin with a J that is not Justin or Jason?
Johnson?
Close.
Jensen?
Also, I have a part two to this question.
Oh, boy. Oh, now I'm trying too hard and it's gone. What is it?
Julius.
Julius Erving.
Julius Erving. That's right.
What league did he play in?
NBL.
Nope. He played at the American Basketball Association. Okay. There was two leagues. There was the NBA and the ABA, and they went together.
Hey, man, if I put together a trivia team, do you want to be the sports ringer? I'm looking for a new sports ringer.
Sure. It's about $45,000 a year to retain me.
That's pretty reasonable, actually.
I mean, I'd like...
Do you take it in bar tabs?
I'd like for you to pay me 50.
I take it in French fries covered in ketchup.
Boom.
All right.
A delicacy.
This will all make sense later. Thanks also...
Or not.
Thanks also to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quizster. Who else?
Oh, you know, all the hits. Alex Williams, who composed our theme. He's Jeff Coates. Christopher Asiotis here in spirit. The works. You, me, and the devil makes three. Basketball is fun. We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.